Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Today, I'm super late. I just arrived home. I went shopping, and I'm like, okay, I need to get to the news very quick because I need to make a show to understand the news, and I have like 5 minutes left. I see Mikos on the chat says, Twitter is on fire right now. I refresh Twitter. I look at the trends, and like one trend is, where's Elon? The other thread is Epstein. And I'm like, holy shit, did Elon Musk die? I have no idea. Right now, Elon Musk could be dead. That's what happens when you're not prepared. I've been taking a break from the show yesterday. And yes, I do have the thread by Matt Taibbi because he has begun releasing the Twitter files indeed. Basically what Elon had promised, that there would be some leaks about the coordination between government and Twitter and how the behind the scenes of the Twitter censorship that's been happening. And we're going to have a look at it. And on top of it, yesterday took a break from the internet. I wanted to celebrate with Mama JF the beauty of life, the beauty of family, and all successes and everything. We went to a wonderful restaurant. It was great. And yesterday, of course, people expected me to do a show because Ye has appeared on InfoWars and went full Hitler in this full 1488, as we used to say back in the days. And it was hilarious. It was, of course, clownish and childish also. I'll be giving my thoughts tonight on this. I consider that Ye is engaging in self-immolation as a performance art. I believe that this is the path he's on. Some people have been sending me DMs that describe past references that Ye left on his Twitter back in 2018, where he was mentioning specific artists who have been making performance art, who have been putting themselves in real trouble as part of a art joke kind of circus that they set up. And I think it's a little bit what Kanye is doing. Ye is on a path of self-immolation also, in my view, because of this. Kim Kardashian and Kanye West reached divorce settlement November 30. That's 2 days ago. You're not going to make me believe that there is no link between the behavior of Kanye on InfoWars and everything and this. This, to me, looks like a gigantic 6D chess move. Kanye may have been the most successful billionaire at playing scorched earth with his ex. He's getting rid of money because he knows he's going to lose it if he has it. He's getting rid of all the official money. And what's the most efficient way to get rid of all your official money? You burn it down by starting to be interested at the intellectual question around Jewish power. That is the best way you can make all of this money disappear out of thin air. And I think we should consider the potential thing here that Kanye is both a performance artist doing a live performance, a genius of divorce negotiation, and someone who's basically been following my guidebook, my handbook of divorce, like, to the extreme. This guy took it to another level. It's amazing. It's amazing what's happening. We're going to talk about all this. Let's first update on the Twitter files. Matt Taibbi, 31 minutes ago, publishes thread the Twitter files. What you're about to read is the first installment in a series based on thousands of internal documents obtained by sources at Twitter. The Twitter files tells an incredible story from inside one of the world's largest and most influential social media platforms. It is a Frankensteinian tale of a human-built mechanism grown out of the control of its designer. Twitter and its conception was a brilliant tool for enabling instant mass communication, making a true real-time global conversation possible for the first time. In an early conception, Twitter more than lived up to its mission statement, giving people the power to create and share ideas and information instantly without barrier. As time progressed, however, the company was slowly forced to add those barriers. Some of the first tools for controlling speech were designed to combat the likes of spam and financial fraudsters. Slowly, over time, Twitter staff and executives began to find more and more uses for these tools. Outsiders began petitioning the company to manipulate speech as well, first a little, then more often, then constantly. By 2020, requests from connected actors to delete tweets were routine. One executive would write to another, "More to review from the Biden team." The reply would come back, "Handled." Look at this. "More to review from the Biden team." So the Biden team was deciding who gets censored on Twitter. The answer of the Twitter executive, "Handled these." Done. We're done. Holy shit, this is a privatization of First Amendment violation with only one degree of freedom between the two. That is, a member of the Biden team was directly emailing the top executives at Twitter, were controlling their decisions. Unbelievable. The problem with First Amendment violation is that the First Amendment is so fundamental to the law that it seems like we haven't developed a criminal code for this. It's like, okay, the First Amendment is very important. It's the first. It's the most important. But do you get in jail if you violate the First Amendment? No, it seems that you can coordinate and conspire against the American people to violate their constitutional right. There is no such thing as a crime of violating the First Amendment. I don't think there is. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it special that the most important thing is not covered by criminal codes? Total Grimm says it's treason. Yes, it is. I guess it could fall under this if we had a judiciary system that is capable of understanding what the oath means and breaking that oath here in private conversation would totally qualify. Joker is back, says nothing surprising. Violations of the amendments have been continuing since 9/11. Yeah, I mean, that's a good comment. It's totally in line with this, this whole Patriot Act. And at this point, it's like a game for politicians of just, how do I write the law so that I can violate your amendment rights and violate the Constitution without having to pay for it? It's terrible. Rack Reacher says, why doesn't Ye use Gab? It suits his Christian sensibilities. We'll talk about this. Well, I'm very happy. Matt Taibbi, I don't know who that is. I've heard the name before, but I never checked who he was. I'm happy that he's releasing the Twitter files, and I'll be following in great detail as he publishes them. That's what we got for now, because it started 30 minutes ago. He's doing these tweet threads. Maybe we'll know more tomorrow. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy and feel free to send me bitcoins, because I'm huddling again. And I'm very happy about my positioning for the next bull run. I was one of those who didn't sell at the peak of the last bull run because I wasn't satisfied with how high it goes. So if you do have bitcoins and you want to get rid of them, send them to me. I'll be happy. The links and the cryptocurrency addresses are all in the description below. Let's talk about Kanye. This is important. It's important because it directly relates to me, I feel, in many ways. Kanye appeared with this mask on Alex Jones. Now, we shouldn't interpret too much about this mask in relation to what he was saying. If someone else was to wear this suit that hides the full skin of Kanye, you might interpret it as, oh, he's wearing a bag on his head because he's ashamed of what he's doing, or maybe because of cancel culture, or for plausible deniability of what he's about to say. But this is a suit that Kanye has put on before. Kanye was seen in some gala, I remember, with Kim Kardashian. They were both fully covered by this black suit, which is kind of creepy and weird, but it's something that he's been doing before. And it's a kind of, I guess it starts as a device to hide his celebrity, but at this point it probably doesn't play that role anymore, given that, I mean, I see a guy like this on the street, I say, hey, it's Kanye. So that is an interesting aspect of this creepy interview, but which made me go back to the 2017, the golden era of the internet, and made me think again about the times we spent in Bloodsports with Nick Fuentes, and then the old interviews I've done, and eventually Nick Fuentes starting to deny my friendship or reject me and insult me publicly, claiming that me hanging out with David Duke was bad optics. And I was standing there, and Nick Fuentes was on InfoWars. He was sitting on the right while Kanye, dressed like this, started mentioning his adoration and respect for Hitler, and just straight out also denying certain historical event, which I cannot even repeat what he said on this show. You know why? Not even because Odyssey would ban me. I have the right on Odyssey to report the news, but because it would be in violation of Canadian law. I mean, Kanye went strong. He went to the point where, as a Canadian, I am not even allowed to repeat what he said about a given historical event. And so he went super strong, questioning, asking for facts, saying we should look into the facts, and saying that Adolf Hitler ultimately had redeeming quality, which is an edgy joke. I mean, we've been hearing it. I've been doing it back in the days. I remember when I wanted to play with a journalist, I would say something like this, like, he made some bad things, but he made some good things too. And Kanye just used that kind of edgy humor totally. He started mentioning that he had redeeming quality. And Mama JF was like, what does that mean, redeeming quality? Because we're not English. And I was like, well, you would say redeeming quality when someone has done a little bad, you know, has done something very little bad. But on the other hand, he has very good qualities that are contrasting with this badness. But you wouldn't say that of Adolf Hitler, usually. So it was totally hilarious, and it was also amazing to see Alex Jones being the straight man, because we rarely see this. Alex Jones is normally the crazy guy who goes all crazy and yelling and conspiratorial. Now we had Alex Jones. One of the most fascinating moments of this interview is when Alex Jones say, well, okay, let's be clear about what you just said about the Nazis here. You like them because of the fashion aspect, the Hugo Boss type of suit. You're a man of fashion. As part of the fashion industry, you kind of like how they dressed. And Kanye was like, Kanye was like, no, there are many things I like. And so he was like giving no out to Alex Jones. Alex Jones was trying to grasp at straws to get out. And Kanye was like, no, 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 not just the fashion. He was expanding even worse in response to Alex Jones' attempt at reasoning with him. So that was fascinating. That was fascinating to see. A friend like Alex Jones knows about cancel culture. He wants to save Kanye, and to have Alex Jones in that position where like 99.9% of the people, if they would be in a show with Alex Jones, they would find themselves trying to save Alex Jones socially. They would find themselves trying to soften his discourse. But to see Alex Jones having to soften the discourse of someone else, that was absolute art, absolute performance art by Kanye. Now, the normies of Twitter have been they've been dropping Kanye under the bus, you know. I've been refreshing on Twitter, seeing the public conversation. They're like, "Oh, I cannot stand by Kanye anymore. This is too much. This is too much." Of course, all of this started with a reasonable discussion around Jewish power, and it was an important discussion to have. And yesterday, it built into a more circus type of performance, super edgy, not even edgy, just downright crass, low-level provocation. Provocation, I guess that's the word. So that's what we had, and there is a lot of normies who are taking this on the first degree and who are like, "Oh no, Kanye is going too far here." Then you also have the Ben Shapiro's of this world who are saying Kanye, you know, is mentally sick and what he needs is a therapy, not to be put under the spotlight, and at this point it is cruelty to get this guy under the camera. I certainly don't. I think it would be a terrible world, and it's unfortunately the world we're headed for, but I cannot stand with the Ben Shapiro analysis of this. First, it is a repeat of the kind of psychiatric abuse that Kanye has already been exposed to. First, we should not, on the public space, be threatening the psychiatric and mental liberties of others, especially not in the current legal framework, where it's actually possible. Like, Ben Shapiro could call someone and put Kanye in trouble, potentially lead to his arrest and forced psychiatrization. In the context where these legal tools exist, I'm not kidding when I talk about psychiatric liberty and about the fact that this should be off subject. This shouldn't be something you can do as a public intellectual to basically threaten Kanye, especially knowing that Kanye has been the victim of such abuse before and that it came from exactly the same side as it came when it came from Ben Shapiro. That is, yet another agent. Another agent of the deep state basically going for Kanye and threatening him in DMs. That was his gym coach. Now it's Ben Shapiro on Twitter. So is that mental health that we see from Kanye? Is that a problem of mental health? Well, we have to ask, is there a reason and rationality to his behavior? And once you understand that Kanye is trying to burn a pile of cash and that this cash is not his because he finds himself in divorce situation, he was in a negotiation, basically the richer he would appear, the more contracts he would appear to have, the more he was going to pay in child custody for and potentially in divorce settlement fees to Kim Kardashian. And so he had a rational interest to self-destroy. Because sometimes, if that dollar if I have a dollar, but then I have a promise to someone that they're going to do 20% for each of such dollars that will come to my bank account, this agent from Hollywood will be making 20%. Then I'm going to have expenses with that dollar. Then I'm going to have financial cost. Then I'm going to have this and that. And at some point, even if you're not divorced, that dollar, you know, you might see not the color of it. You might see 10% of it at the end when you consider all the expenses, all the contracts you're bound to. But eventually it becomes even darker than this. It's that with divorce, that dollar can be a minus to have. To have cash flow gives the impression to your ex that she's going to be able to drain, gives the justification to the judge that he can get a higher child custody payment per month. And then you reach a point where that dollar is negative, where you don't want it anymore. And I think it's what's happening with Kanye. I think Kanye looked at a lot of his deals and he said, I'm being stuck in a corner here, where even if I was to see the color of some profit on some of these deals, they would get drained from me. And in fact, the more they have the impression that they can drain for me, the more they will go above the board. See, if Kanye was still a billionaire, who knows, maybe it wouldn't be $200K per month for child support. It may be $1 million per month. And I think at some point he realized that with all the expenses related to the shit that he's involved in, with all the promises, the contracts, the handlers, the permissions, the signed away rights of his, that this money was ultimately negative to have. And he didn't want to see the color of that dollar because that color was red. Now, once you understand this, you understand that Kanye doesn't need psychiatric hospitalization. He needs a restoration of private property, of self-ownership, self-actualization, pride, and the means that he's taking, like the self-cancellation and the self-immolation that he's engaging in right now, is an act of self-ownership. And it's beautiful. It shows extreme levels of mental health here that I wish more people had. Now, as far as as far as Twitter goes, Kanye just got banned from Twitter. But let's look at the super chat before I move to this other subject. Rack Reacher has sent $5. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, in these trying times, it is very important to remember to make time for comfiness. The weather is cool, my tree is beautiful, and I am providing a fresh server through SSH with a cup of cocoa. Wow, man, that is the place to be. I have a beautiful server with SSH, super high security. I'm super proud of my server security, let me tell you. I don't think you guys are going to be able to hack my server ever. And yeah, it's beautiful. Just you enjoy the fall. The temperature is cool, so the heat of the server gets drained away and you just chill. You just log in. You sudo minus I. Just enter your password. Take ownership. Take the super user powers. Update, APT update, APT upgrade, enter, yes, 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 reboot. It feels good to have a Linux server. White is back on the super chats. He sends $101. Thank you so much for the support, he says. And by the way, I haven't advanced on your question. It is so hard to release, to make sure that I iterate through the question and, you know, the question about ancestors and having a third cousin or fourth cousin as a partner, I haven't solved it yet. It's a super complex question, it turns out. But I'm trying to do it from the fundamentals of mathematics, and I will get there. I've just been crazy busy. White was saying, Jeff, I heard a great comment on your show recently that really stuck with me. Cloud Warmer said to Philosoraptor, maybe the real JF was all the friends we made along the way. So deep, so true. I find this funny. But it's not deep. It's just it's a misrepresentation of what this sentence is supposed to mean. I don't think it works. Let me reread it because it's kind of mind-boggling. Maybe the real JF was all the friends we made along the way. This really gets me to a position of being a kind of distributed entity. I live among friends. I don't even exist as a person. The real JF was all the friends we made along the way. It doesn't work. I don't think you can say it's deep, or maybe it's so deep that I don't feel it. I would need a Jordan Peterson symbolic analysis. Jordan, where are you when we need you? Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, I came up with a similar conclusion of performance art. Are you familiar with how Andy Kaufman in the 80s wrecked his career by playing IRL as suddenly becoming sexist and challenging women in the audience to wrestle him? It is documented in Jim Carrey's Men on the Moon. Well, someone sent me a Twitter thread about someone who was speculating exactly this, Men on the Moon. I don't remember if I watched Men on the Moon. I may have had an opportunity to watch it back in the days. I was too young, so I don't even remember the movie, but I think I may have seen parts of it. I will watch it again because I think it's what's happening here. And there are old tweets from 2018 by Kanye showing that he understands some people who have written some books about performance art and who have went very far in the performance art domain, basically putting themselves in real trouble in real life for their performance art. I don't remember the names of the people, but it seems that Kanye has announced to us that he was on this path since at least 2018. Paradigm asks me to wash my penis. Wash your penises, JFs of the world. Your friend, Jordan B. Peterson. Absolutely, I agree with this. I often disagree with Jordan Peterson, but this is important. Wash your penis. Archie says, JF show drew a person into a community that a person defines themselves by. You guys are playing with my brain here. You guys are fucking with my brain. I don't get it at this point. All right, now, Kanye following the InfoWars performance. And I don't know where this is headed. Is this headed toward a real presidential run? Because that would be kind of funny to see a performance art being pushed to that degree. But also something tells me that this bunch is a little too lazy to pull it. But it would be hilarious. And I would enjoy the destruction of the Republican as it stands. I would enjoy the slap on the face of Trump for betraying us with the vaccine and with so many other things, for running on a platform in the election that he only softened once he got in power, for abandoning the people of the internet, for doing nothing about free speech, for doing nothing about Section 230, for using the Republican legislature to do absolutely nothing, for all this centrism. I think that if Kanye was to go really into setting up a campaign, that would be great. But actually, on the InfoWars performance, we saw that Kanye backed off. Alex Jones asked, so are you running for 2024? And Kanye's answer was, well, you know, Alex, You have a particular talent to phrase things in a way that will lead to lawsuits. That was both a little jab to Alex Jones for his enormous defamation trials that have theoretically cost him a lot. So it was a little jab related to this. But it was also Kanye admitting basically that if he was to say, I'm going to run for president in 2024, and if he was to start gathering money for this, he could be sued. Now, that tells me, in Kanye's head, if he was to say that he was going to run in 2024, he would be engaging in fraud toward the general public. That tells me Kanye does not intend to run in 2024. Have I got this run wrong? Have I overinterpreted? I don't know, maybe. But to me, that was Kanye backing off and explicitly mentioning the possibility that if his Ye 24 campaign was to be interpreted and explicitly stated as a presidential run, he would be committing fraud. So that means Kanye wants to LARP as a presidential run, but he wants to end, let's say, in a year from now or in a couple of months from now. He wants to end up by saying maybe the real presidency was all the friends we made along the way. You know, maybe Ye 24 was all of the Jews that we talked about in positions of power. I think it's what we're headed for, so we should expect disappointment and nothingness from this circus. Now, even Elon Musk, Ye's personal friend, couldn't take it anymore and ended up banning Kanye West from Twitter yesterday. And on top of it, I believe that he was banned on false grounds. We may be seeing the first objective censorship error from Elon Musk. Because look at what happened. Kanye was crazy with his account. He had he had Nick Fuentes, he had everyone take his cell phone and tweet instead of him, tweet with his account. And eventually Kanye later during the night, or was it Milo? I don't know. But eventually we had a tweet of a swastika symbol mixed in with the Jewish star. Now, Kanye was mentioning in that tweet. So you can see that there's a swastika on the inside that connect to the Jewish pentagon. Hexagon or whatever. And so it's kind of a mix of a Jewish symbol with a Nazi symbol. Now, one way you could interpret this, if you were not to know about the history of this symbol, is, okay, this is Kanye's way of completing what he's... Because on InfoWars, another aspect that Kanye has been pushing, other than purely edgy talking points around the Nazis and Hitler, he's been pushing for a vision of charity, of Christian charity, of loving everyone. And that's what brought him, in fact, onto the subject of I love this, I love that, I love everyone, I love the Zionists, I love the Nazis. That's basically what he's been saying. So you could interpret this symbol as a kind of I love both extremes. I love the Jews, I love the Nazis. A little bit like he was saying on InfoWars. But the thing is, this was kind of a trap. Because this symbol is neither a symbol that's directly related to Nazis or Jews or Ye. It is the Ra'el symbol. Now, Ra'el is a Quebecois, so I should... I mean, he's a Frenchman, but he's a Francophone. The majority of this religion, the Ra'elian, are based in Francophone areas of Western Europe and North America. I know about Raël because he's a public personality in Quebec. Everyone knows him. And he has this symbol to the Raël religion. Now, Raël is... Raël used to be a sports journalist of some kind who went crazy at some point, started claiming that aliens had kidnapped him, started pushing for a vision that he was kind of the next Jesus or something like this, that he had in the spaceship with the aliens, that he had been talking to Jesus and maybe Elvis and that kind of stuff. And he started making a kind of cult around the idea that at some point in the future, maybe in the year 2030 to 2030, 2040, 2050, there would be a comeback of the aliens, and that the work of the Raëlien was to establish an airport, so a spaceport, if you will, so that the aliens can land and be welcomed by them. It is a religion that has all sorts of commentaries around the Jews, the Nazis, the Catholics, the Christians, and it's kind of... I believe that the idea behind this symbol is kind of Raël's desire of religious unification under his conception. Now, the religion has been associated with various stunts across the years, including, I believe, there was at some point a Raëlien, a member of that church, who claimed to be a clone or who claimed to have accomplished some act of cloning. So they've been interested in biological sciences. And there's also a kind of sex cult, from what I understand, around Raël, where he has access to the beautiful virgins or something of that kind. Like he's surrounded by super sexy Raëlien women. Anyways, that's the story. That's what I know about the Raël religion. But the fact that Kanye tweeted this and Elon Musk states on Twitter, I tried my best. Despite that, he again violated our rule against incitement to violence. Account will be suspended. Now, it's sad to me because it would seem that there is a misunderstanding here. Kanye was publishing this symbol of Raël religion, which is a Quebecois French-Canadian slash French from France religion. And Elon Musk interpreted it because of the Nazi-like swastika that was inside the symbol. But this was not an appeal to violence, if you understand it, as Kanye's desire to indicate that he expects the arrival of the Elohims, the Raëlien extraterrestrial beings. Now, I can't believe that from the little reading and understanding I have of the Raëlien religion, the Raëlien, I can't believe that I remember the name of the extraterrestrials. But yes, I believe they are called Elohims. It's like my brain was raped by disinformation. I don't want to know it, but somehow I know it. Bo Badger sends $50.24. Thank you so much. He says, congrats on hitting 5K subs on Odyssey. Here's for another 5K. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. The channel is growing. All it took is 1 year. I worked hard. I knew that we had a small audience, and You meme, and at some point the memes become so big and the news becomes so interesting that people pull in and they want to hear really about what's been happening on the internet, and we gain audience again. This would be impossible on... It would be impossible on YouTube anymore because YouTube does not allow growth anymore. And yet we are here and we're starting to receive also, you know, new audience members showing up in the chat, arriving here by random, sent by the browsing system of Odyssey. So, yeah, and yeah, I'm so happy because at this growth, we can see a future that is stable for the show. I don't have to worry about will I make enough money? Will I have to go work at McDonald's? It's amazing. And yes, Rack Reacher, I come back because JF is a reliable news source. That's what I'm trying to be. And it's so hard these days because you go on Tim Pool, you get the cuckery, the ideological cuckery. You go on some of these cheap streams, and there's a lack of professionalism and a lack of informational compression. I can't watch a 4 hour stream if it takes like 1 hour for you to get to the news and you're mostly lazy and uninteresting. So I try to deliver the most compressed informational experience for the people of the internet. And I think I'm one of the rare who does it well from the bottom of society, from the bottom of the blockchain, not from the top, not from a desired ideological pillar. I don't even cover the news in a right-wing way, I would say. And I don't cover it in a centrist way. I just cover it and I try to be compressing in it. White sends $365. Holy shit, white. People are generous tonight. Bo Badger, white. Ratch, Richier, Reacher. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, you guys. So now we find ourselves with a poor decision of Twitter ban against Elon Musk's friend because of a misunderstanding of the Rael religion. I can't believe that we're back to square zero and we have Matt Taibbi going around and publishing the Twitter files. What about the Twitter files that are happening right now? What about the fact that Elon Musk interpreted a Rael symbol as violent when it wasn't? Where is the council, Elon? I would like to appeal to the council. General Irreverence says JF watches the news so you don't have to, but you didn't have to in the first place. No, you didn't. Meanwhile, Parley has confirmed that the Kanye deal is closed. I'm happy about it because this deal was going nowhere. Kanye West probably has too much of a oscillating mind to be able to lead a tech thing like Parler and take it in a new direction or make anything significant with it. So I didn't see this going anywhere. On top of it, Kanye was already too edgy 2 weeks ago to have even his Parler posts survive the censorship process. I mean, he was saying stuff and Parler was censoring it. They were writing, "Careful, this Parler post is a troll," which is ridiculous, which I don't like half censorship. You know, this idea that, oh, we leave the post up, but we put this little label on it or we hide it. If you're gonna censor in full, and then I'm gonna leave your platform and I'm gonna build another one or live on some other platform. But I really don't like this passive aggressive shutdown, and it's very annoying. On top of it, you know, Parler, the way they phrase it. "Careful, this Parler post is a troll." But what do you know about it? What do you know whether Kanye is a troll here or whether he actually likes Adolf Hitler? You don't know. So you're affirming something you don't know just because you want to hide it, just because you want to stay in the app store. What a chain of cuckery. And sometimes when I look at society, I'm like, it's cucks all the way up. They're cucking to cucks to cucks. Master Slave says, "If JF was to take off his shirt and rub his nipple a bit, I could believe the 365 donation is not money laundering." So I'm being accused of being white, white, white. That's what people are accusing me of on the regular chat. They think that white, white, white is just like my hand under the table. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to send myself $300. And they say that I'm laundering money. Look at them. They're accusing me. I'm white, white, white. And I would be using the super chat system to launder money to myself. That's a beautiful, it's an interesting theory, but it is false. White, white, white is truly a user who has risen on the use of super chats relatively recently. I mean, we have some big donors that I know their name or I know their account, and I can recognize them from 5, 6, 7 years ago. But White 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 has been quite enthusiast with Super Chats only since I'm on Odyssey. Unless he was some other guy before. Which, yeah, I mean, I can trace back some of his nicknames now that I think about it. Yeah, White 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 has been around for a while. Yeah, but he wasn't giving as big these big Super Chats back in the days. White 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 is a man who has started being extremely active on the super chats, probably because he enjoys the Odyssey platform and its format. Because when I was on YouTube, I wasn't receiving from him these big amounts. Total Grimm says, "Is it Quebecois foie gras?" No, Quebecois foie gras has truly disappeared from the chat. I believe he got frustrated against me at some point. Not sure though. Not sure. Quebecois foie gras. I think there might have been a moment where he was annoyed. Maybe the fact that I was banning him, but he was breaking the rule in a way that would put myself in trouble on YouTube. So I believe that he got annoyed of some of the bannings and eventually disappeared. But maybe he's around under different names. Elon just banned Ye and tweeted, "Fuck around and find out." This is what Elon tweeted when he banned Kanye West from Twitter. "Fuck around and find out." Holy shit, things are becoming extreme in 2022. I didn't expect this. 2022 has been a not so bad year in terms of memeing. Fuck around and find out. Isn't that the official motto of the Proud Boys? So now at this point we got white supremacist Elon Musk. Because here's what happened. This is fascinating. Another thing that I didn't even talk about yet, but yeah, it happened yesterday too. Kanye West, despite the fact that he got banned for Israel symbol tweet, because we've seen it, the tweet got deleted. So we know that this is the tweet that was causing problem to Elon Musk. But Kanye also said on Twitter, just after this tweet, he released the famous picture of Elon Musk resembling a whale. Okay, I want to show it to you because it's a classic picture. Elon Musk, whale-like white surface on his chest. I googled too precisely. Elon Musk on a boat. Okay, there it is. So, this picture, Kanye West tweeted this picture and said, "Let us remember that this was my last picture posted on Twitter." So he felt that the ban was incoming. He tweeted this picture of Elon Musk looking. It's amazing because this picture to me is it's a biological demonstration. Like, if you want to know the ultimate link, if you want to prove that whales are mammals, I think that this picture is extremely, like, you can see that humans belong not so far from the whales when you look at the kind of hairless blob that Elon Musk is. Extremely white to the point of, my God, it's like, well, it's what happens when you're a geek. You don't gain sun exposure. You don't gain tan of any kind. And there is it so white that we can conclude that just like Mark Zuckerberg, Elon is applying some kind of Crisco fat of some sort to over-whiten? In any case, that is what Kanye West had tweeted as his last tweet, knowing that he was going to be banned. So then you interpret the fuck around and find out of Elon Musk, and you're like, is it because of the whale picture and the Crisco fat being spread on Elon's chest? Or is it because of the rail symbol? Well, Elon Musk tweeted in response to both tweets. He tweeted to the picture of himself looking white like this, this is okay. And then he tweeted to the rail symbol, this is not okay. So we would conclude that it was not the personal individual provocation that hurt Elon Musk and that led him to say fuck around and find out. It was the rail swastika in a Jewish star. The news is so complex, it's amazing. Flipper Zero apparently is some kind of company. They were denied a release of their money by PayPal. They took $350,000 that they hold to mitigate possible claims. They have only released 74% of their money. Despite the fact that we delivered 100% of orders paid with this money. I don't know what Flipper Zero is, but I'm very alarmed at this behavior of PayPal. PayPal has been giving signs that they intend to drain from certain accounts. They want to say, all right, you have been doing misinformation, you've been doing hate speech, we're going to pay the salary of our leftist anti-hate speech force by dipping it in your account. That is extremely worrying. Why is Flipper Zero, whatever that company is, they say a portable multi-tool device in a toy-like body for pen testers and hardware geeks. Whatever that means, whatever that is. Free Flipper Zero, PayPal, give them their money. You are an intermediary. You shouldn't be able to dip in our Tostitos salsa. Elon Musk confident that brain chip company Neuralink can begin human trials in 6 months. That's a project of Elon Musk that I'm not super enthusiastic about because I've been working in that domain. I've been recording single neurons in monkey brains, and I know just how far we are from ease of use, and I know just how dirty this whole thing is. Like putting a chip in the brain is a pudding-like tissue. If you saw the brain in a live animal, it's very easy to have the chewy brain super solid once you put it in a vat and you put some formaldehyde on it. It becomes a cooked jello-like structure. But the brain in your cranium is at a level of consistency that I would compare with an uncooked egg, okay? Like, seriously, if you shake like this, your brain would potentially be moving in your cranium. The only thing that keeps it structured is the fact that you have cranium here, you have cranium here, is the fact that it's compacted into a super hard cranium. Now, if I drill a hole into the brain, into the cranium, let's say a hole big like this, okay? It wouldn't take much time and force before your brain just pops out of this. That would be too big of a hole. You hold something like this, you pierce the dura, the brain would squeeze out like toothpaste from a tube. That is one of the big problems in brain surgery, and there are all sorts of ways to protect against this. Importantly, maintaining the dura mater, which is the kind of last wrap below the cranium. If you maintain the dura intact, or if you don't drill a hole that's as big, you drill just micro holes, you go for a very pointy needle size hole, that's okay in the dura. But make a hole like this, and your brain just squeezes out like toothpaste. All of this to say, and by the way, if you cook brain, if you've ever eaten lamb brain, for example, I've been eating lamb brain. It's like the consistency of ice cream or butter. Somewhere between the two. It's like butter, but even more soft than butter, more fluffy of the ice cream type. All of this to say the brain is not a super strong structure. And when you talk about inserting a chip with 100 different connections, metallic connections entering into it, you have a reaction of the tissue. The tissue is trying to heal. As far as your brain is concerned, that's an injury. And the body starts developing, the dura starts developing all sorts of glial cells and starts patching around. It's super dirty. So all of this to say, you're going to have this chip, maybe it's going to work a couple of years. What will be the health effects down the line? I mean, it's impressive. Some human chips have been implanted by Dr. John Donoghue, and I think that they've been doing it for years now, and I assume that it's the kind of working. I assume that they're not losing all their patients, but I also assume there's all sorts of trouble that show up in the long run. So all of this to say, I'm not super enthusiastic about Neuralink. It's going to be a very specialized type of device. The only person on which I see it as ethical to put this on would be someone who's paraplegic, tetraplegic, who has lost control of his whole body except the head, and that person needs some kind of connection to the world other than blinking with his eyes. Okay, these people might need Neuralink, but we're far from this having widespread use. General Irreverence says, JF got ripped off. Brain does not taste like ice cream. It tastes like brain. It doesn't taste like ice cream at all. What I'm saying is it's the kind of consistency you would expect from ice cream once it's cooked. Milo Yiannopoulos posted himself taking his bags and leaving on Telegram. Is Milo done with Kanye after running his image into the ground? So apparently that's Milo Yiannopoulos dressed as a Christian or monk type, abbe, whatever. Bro, that is gay. I mean, Kanye, Milo is trying everything not to look gay, but that looks like super gay. It looks like MTV video clip levels of gay village performance. Look at him showing his religious outfit. Doing the walk like he's on some fashion show or something. I conclude that Milo is so gay that when he act when he actively tries not to look gay, it looks even gayer. Did you watch this? JF says Master Slave. Master Slave says, oh, well, you send me this cartoon performance of Ye. I don't know why this is circulating. I don't give a shit. It's an audio segment taken from Kanye and added to a cartoon. But why? I've commented in the news on the video segment when it came out. It was something filmed with a cell phone on the streets. Kanye was headed toward a truck. Why do people send me this edited version where there's an audio overlay of Kanye's statement to a cartoon? I don't get it. Valet has sent a super chat through Entropy. Thank you so much. He says, $5 Canadian to second your displeasure with Canadian speech restrictions. Yeah, it really sucks. Doubting Thomas, but thank you for the support. It sucks that we can't, because I would love to cover exactly the statements that Kanye did about World War II. But I have to cover it in a superficial manner. I would like to talk about the details and what he was trying to raise, you know? I can't do it because I'm in Canada. Holy shit. Doubting Thomas says, in Timcast, the day after the Kanye interview, Tim clarified the record and explained that before the show, Tim showed Kanye the news article with the anti-Semitism accusation and told him they would start the show with that article. Hence, Kanye was not blindsided, as we assumed. I didn't assume that he was blindsided. I assumed that if Tim Pool wants to start with this article, Kanye must be given all of the space to respond to the anti-Semitism accusation. That is all I said. And I still stand by this. I don't know if you were assuming something else about Kanye. I don't care if Kanye was informed before of the article or not. What I care about is if you show this article, whether you show it by surprise or in advance, you are opening the door to anti-Semitism as a subject, and therefore Kanye must be able to answer to the anti-Semitism accusation. That is all. End of the line, Joel says, Kanye and Fuentes will split soon too. Interesting, some people are speculating that, yeah, this was all just a little short-term circus and that Nick Fuentes will just go back to his streaming and the trio will separate. I don't know. I have no particular insight. I will wait for it to happen. Rack Reacher says, imagine the relief if JF put his face over the border for a few minutes to shout all the bad things. I mean, technically, if you're standing on the border but your face is on the American side, does your face have First Amendment rights? That is a good question. Meanwhile, we learned that Alex Jones has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. And what is the best moment to have Kanye come and destroy your show from a public image perspective? It's when you file for bankruptcy, because you have to basically make the case that there's no saving you, that they can't go on a slow version of bankruptcy and slowly drain you from money so that they can pay back some of your debt. You have to make the case that you're down into the ground. So, beautiful strategy from Alex Jones to self-immolate along with his friend Ye. I think it's the exact good moment. And finally, as a last news item for today, former FTX CEO Sam Bankman-Fried admits FTX didn't buy Bitcoin for clients, just took their money. That is based on a Twitter space of Sam Bankman-Fried.
Because that makes sense as to why there were no more Bitcoin to withdraw, where customers like that I know had Bitcoin balances, because those Bitcoin actually didn't exist.
So there's one guy questioning, and you have to listen to the answers of Sam Bankman-Fried to conclude what that means.
Because it was just notional, you were just letting us buy notional tokens that didn't actually really exist.
You were just letting us buy tokens that didn't actually exist. So that is basically an accusation that he wasn't buying the corresponding assets. He was just giving you virtual like updates in your account. He was displaying those to you. You have that much Bitcoin, but he didn't have the Bitcoin. Now look at his answer to this accusation.
Yeah, or another way of phrasing that would
Because
be
otherwise,
there
you
is.
would
Yeah, or another way of phrasing that is,
have had to have the
Balancing.
USDC somewhere.
Balancing this up. Right. Yeah.
He says, right, yeah. So they maybe, I don't know, this guy. There's an excellent article at Zero Edge that I didn't pull, but I will pull it so that it appears in the list of today's articles. It's How to Save Your Skin According to Bankman-Fried and Fauci. It is very interesting because they changed the accusation against Sam Bankman-Fried, and they also changed the accusation against Fauci to claim, did you steal socks from Walmart? And they show how the answers of Sam Bankman-Fried are designed to evade any accusation. And if you change the did you steal the Bitcoin to did you steal the socks at Walmart? You realize just how much of a twister of words he is. It's like, did you or did you not steal socks from Walmart? It's an excellent question, and thank you for asking it. So I think back on the events under consideration here, we need first to understand the circumstances in which there are many pairs of socks, far more than were being sold, and I also and also a genuine opportunity for a broader and frankly more socially aware distribution of foot covering through the community. Excellent article. Read the whole thing. It's funny as you read through those. And I may have forgotten some super chats, so let's review everything to make sure. Dead Star had sent a super chat, sorry. He says, the difference between a Jewish soul and souls. Okay, you are quoting Israel Cook, a chief rabbi of British Palestine, who was making statements about non-Jews and basically treating them like cattle. I will not read the exact statement because then it's going to be attributed to me and they're going to say, oh. But anyway, you are quoting Israel Cook, first chief rabbi of British Palestine in 1921, 1935, in a statement that was dishonorable toward the non-Jews. And you say, what exactly separates this Jewish fundamentalism from Nazism? Well, you know, you are asking rhetorically to me because, as far as I'm concerned, I recognize the imperialistic and racially dominating attitude of Israeli powers throughout the decades and of their agents in the US as part of domestic policy. So I totally agree that there is no difference other than the social taboo that is being imposed, leading to a double standard. White has sent 101 bucks on top of all the generous sending that he's been doing today. Thank you so much, White. He says, I've been listening to JF regularly since February 2018. Only started donating in July 2022. Well, see, so there you go. You have your answers, guys. White is not me. It is not an agent that I use for laundering money. I wouldn't launder money. I cannot. There's just too much attention on me. I'm too public. So everything I do is always legal and always in line with the law and reported to the Canadian government. And so White is truly just one of these shy listeners at time, and eventually became an involved listeners when I transferred to Odyssey. That is it for tonight, boys. And it is 365 Super Chat was saying, congrats on about 1 year on Odyssey. Yes, it's beautiful. We've been about 1 year on Odyssey. In 8 days from now, we're going to celebrate 4 years of the Revolutionary Phenotype. I need to release an episode of Bitcoin Counseling because someone wanted this Bitcoin Counseling episode. If Kanye can stay calm tomorrow, and then we're going to have a slow news day, I will do the Bitcoin episode tomorrow. And then we need a Bitcoin episode. We need an answer to White's question about ancestry and an answer to his second question also. We might have a Christmas dinner episode with Mama JF. We have a lot of things that I need to do, and we'll do them when there's a slow news day. But these days, slow news days is something that rarely happens. Yes, says, good night, JF. I'm reading TRP soon. Thanks. Absolutely. You have to read it. Much love, everyone. See you all tomorrow.